In the quiet town of Miles City, Montana, 1912, a discovery changes everything. Construction workers unearth a journal hidden within a crumbling wall, revealing the final days of Pastor Arthur Bocarn before his mysterious disappearance. Over a century later, his descendant Etsy sees this manuscript as academic salvation for her faltering career. But as she spreads these weathered pages across her apartment, transcribing them late into the night, something awakens. The journal pulses with dark energy, connecting two timelines separated by decades yet bound by blood. Sometimes Etsy feels she's not alone, catching movements in her peripheral vision, hearing floorboards creak in empty rooms. What happened to Arthur in those final autumn days, and why does she sense his presence materializing from the ether as she works to uncover the truth? A mysterious Native American man begins attending Arthur Bocarn's church services during the bitter Montana winter. Wearing a floor-length black clerical robe and peculiar dark spectacles, he sits isolated at the back pew each Sunday. After his second appearance, Arthur finally speaks with him, learning he was once called Weasel Plume, then Good Stab of the Small Robes Band of the Blackfeet. Now he carries the names Takes No Scalps and The Full Blood, though, as he notes with quiet dignity carrying an undercurrent of loss, no one calls him either anymore. His dark spectacles protect eyes made sensitive by surviving the devastating smallpox epidemic that decimated his people. When Goodstab asks to make a confession, Arthur accommodates him, despite explaining Lutheran practices differ from Catholic ones. Goodstab seems unconcerned with these distinctions, revealing he fasts monthly, hoping Sun Chief will take me back among the small robes. Their conversation ends with Arthur instinctively offering, "I listen with a good heart," words that visibly move the stoic Indian, cracking his demeanor to reveal deep emotion. Goodstab confesses that while traveling through mountains with companions and a caged catman, he violated tribal law by hunting winter beaver. This transgression brought disaster. Soldiers emerged from snow, killing his friends. The dying Peasy released the catman, a creature of impossible speed that savagely attacked the soldiers. As Goodstab lay dying, the catman's pitch-dark blood flowed into his mouth, transforming him. He gained immortality and supernatural abilities, discovering that consuming different creatures' blood temporarily granted their traits. To preserve humanity, he feeds exclusively on humans, though this brings torment. His metamorphosis serves as both origin story and metaphor for colonial impact, trapped between worlds, witnessing centuries of his people's decline. For a century, Goodstab has hunted trappers with extraordinary abilities, seeing colors at night, tasting those colors, hearing tree roots growing. He moves without footprints and heals from mortal wounds. Arthur learns the Germans call such a creature Nachtzehrer and realizes with horror that Goodstab has been counting coups, repeatedly touching enemies before killing them, and that Arthur himself is the ultimate target. As Goodstab's confessions continue, Miles City faces disturbing events. Skinned bodies appear in the grasslands with faces painted half yellow and half black, the same markings Native Americans once left on stolen buffalo carcasses as a message to white hunters. Arthur and Sheriff Doyle investigate one corpse lying face down, skinned of his back, torso, and limbs, with no blood beneath, indicating he was killed elsewhere. Later, Arthur notices his fingers stained black and yellow from church cake, an unsettling echo of the painted corpses. The situation escalates when Pinkerton Detective Dove reveals the skinned man was a missing San Francisco socialite last seen with a dark-robed figure. Arthur increasingly suspects Goodstab's involvement. These events transform Miles City from frontier town to site of supernatural terror. The skinned bodies serve as both crime and symbolic reminder of the buffalo slaughter that destroyed Native American ways of life. As bodies accumulate, the town's security crumbles, exposing the fragile foundations of settler society built upon historical violence. As Goodstab's visits continue, Arthur recognizes disturbing connections between the Indian's tales and his own past. When Detective Dove reveals the skin victims are Flowers family members, Arthur sees his mother's features in their faces. Goodstab confirms Arthur's suspicion. Benjamin Flowers was his grandson, conceived with a red-haired woman after a massacre. The truth emerges when Arthur reads a confession letter he thought he'd barned, revealing his role in the 1870 Mariah's River Massacre. Though not a soldier, Arthur joined Major Baker's expedition and manipulated Scout Joe Cobell into believing these were savages deserving death. He falsely identified the chief and assured Cobell that God would forgive them. This manipulation led Cobell to shoot Chief Heavy Runner, who approached with peace papers, triggering a massacre where 200 rifles fired on 30 lodges, killing approximately 200 Blackfeet, mostly women, children, and elderly. Arthur never fired a shot, yet his words caused the slaughter, transforming him from innocent victim to genocide architect. In 2013, Etsy Bocarney confronts her family's dark legacy when Goodstab reveals he's kept Arthur alive for a century by forcing him to drink prairie dog blood, transforming him into a 7-foot prairie dog monster with human consciousness. Recognizing Goodstab is testing whether she shares her ancestor's violent nature, Etsy makes a difficult choice. She kills her prairie dog grandfather with a nail gun, burns his body, and disposes of it at the Maria's Massacre site, breaking the cycle by refusing to preserve this monstrous existence. Etsy reveals she's destroyed the historical record by applying her father's ashes to the journal pages and deleting all digital images. Goodstab acknowledges her action before riding away with his people into a snowstorm that mirrors the blizzard of the original massacre. How often do we inherit burdens we never asked for? Etsy's choice represents the necessary work of confronting ancestral sins, not to exploit them, but to acknowledge them and find a path toward healing. America's historical atrocities persist in victims and perpetrators, demanding acknowledgement across generations. Goodstab's immortality metaphorically represents cultural memory that refuses erasure. Despite systematic attempts to destroy indigenous peoples, their stories endure. The supernatural elements manifest historical trauma, shaping present reality. Arthur's journal demonstrates how buried histories inevitably resurface. His descendant initially views the manuscript as academic salvation before recognizing it as evidence of ancestral guilt requiring atonement rather than exploitation. The Buffalo Hunter challenges us to examine our relationship to historical violence. Like Etsy, we must decide how to respond when confronted with uncomfortable truths about our collective past. Though no easy answers exist, acknowledgement, atonement, and breaking cycles of violence offer a path forward, even through supernatural horror and personal sacrifice. In a land built on blood and broken promises, perhaps the most radical act is facing our monsters directly, acknowledging what they demand, and choosing a different way forward. Not because it's easy, but because it's the only way to heal wounds that continue to haunt us all.